What does it look like to build a business on your own terms? Welcome to Business Built Different, a podcast with Sisters in Solidarity in partnership with the Canadian Women's Foundation. In this series, we sit down with women and gender diverse entrepreneurs from all over Canada to explore the realities of building and leading businesses in systems that weren't designed with them in mind. Through candid conversations about challenges, choices, and growth, we explore what feminist entrepreneurship looks like in practice and how entrepreneurs are expanding our understanding of what business can be.
Everyone, I'm so happy to be joining today with another amazing woman that is very close to me and our Sisters in Solidarity community. We're talking about how businesses are built different when we have feminist entrepreneurship in mind. So I would love to welcome my sister Colette to the space.
Hi, girl. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy I'm here with you.
All right, Colette, let's let the people know a little bit about you. So please introduce yourself and the work that you're doing.
Okay, so my name is Colette Ifrie. Some people know me as Colette Alethea. I am the founder for Afrocognitive Health Collective, where we seek to provide culturally sensitive or culturally appropriate resources for the Black community around dementia. And I'm starting up and I'm really at the budding stage of Colette Alethea and Consulting, where we also provide consulting resources to long-term care homes about how to support the Black community or minority groups in long-term care.
Okay, I love that so much because it's like twofold. The community really needs you because, you know, this isn't a topic that comes up very often. However, you know, pops up within our family experience so much. And then on the other side, obviously, there are healthcare professionals that are getting a lot of people of color in their establishment and are not sure of how to care for them. And so I think like the work that you're doing is so important. And from community, like we appreciate you for the work that you're doing because even for myself, I have a grandmother that has experiencing Alzheimer's and dementia. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my great grandmother also did on the other side, like my father and my mother, you know? And so it's interesting because again, like outside of family, I don't know who to talk to, but you were actually the first person that I spoke to. And so Colette, I'm sure that through your experience and like eventually coming to speak on Alzheimer's and dementia, what were you navigating personally or professionally that shaped how you approach building your business?
Okay. Yeah. So my mom is diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's dementia, meaning that my mom started showing symptoms of Alzheimer's before the age of 65. And to be honest, I never wanted to be in healthcare. I had no desire. I actually have a background in broadcasting. So really contrast difference, like just not for me. And then through having to support my mom and also my sister previously, which is another reason why I didn't want to get into healthcare, was because I was a care partner for so long. But having to care partner with my mom, it led me into being a personal support worker. And of course, the pandemic also ushered so many women, especially into the healthcare field. So I decided to do personal support worker. And then one day during my practicum, my first day of practicum, I was told that I'd be working on the memory care floor. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. Like, oh, no, I'm not. Like, and I remember this sister, she's a nurse. She looked at me and she said, hey, you're a personal support worker, which means that you should be able to work on any floor you're placed on. And she's like, I know you're going to do well on this floor. Don't worry about it. And I did my thing. The first day was hard, girl, because I was crying in the bathroom and pulling it back together to go back on the floor. Aww. But I mean, the next days after that, I actually enjoyed it so much. And I wanted to learn more about behavior, how the brain works. And I just didn't know where to go. I got stuck at that place. I was like, okay, I'm a PSW, but what else? You know, I know there's Behavior Support Ontario, which helps to like help and people living with dementia in terms of their behavior and how to support them through those behavior changes. But I didn't know how to get there. So I kind of switched gears and I went into social service worker to be a social service worker. And in that one semester, listen, girl, one semester, I got the key and I never went back. My professor was had another a program that we were doing by TPA Snow. It's called Positive Approach to Care. And
Okay.
I decided that I wanted to learn more about that. And I just said, I think I'm done with social service work here because this is not for me. And now I'm in that program learning about behavior. And that has transformed how I now engage with community and how I'm able to also engage in the private sector or the public sector, I guess, when it comes to dementia. So like it was a long path, but I'm here now. And really that personal experience helped to shape where I am today.
And I love that so much. And it really goes to show that, the work that you're doing is driven off of purpose. And I think that a lot of feminist entrepreneurship really does display that when you ask many of us where it came from. It came from, this was my experience and I want to help others. And I think that is just so special. So, Colette, I
Yes,
think that you
girl.
shared a lot. You shared so many different things in there that I think speaks to feminism. It speaks to community wealth. It speaks to even generational wealth, intergenerational building and collaboration, and even just compassion and care for the family, which gives me like matriarchal essence in my heart.
That's an honor. It's an honor to hear that. Wow. Thank you.
And so, I wonder how do feminism and culture shape the ways that families experience and respond to dementia and caregiving? Because I would assume that the way that people care for their elders or seniors in their family are different according to culture, and especially maybe if the culture is patriarchal versus matriarchal. So, like, how does that differ, or how does feminism and culture really shape the experience around dementia?
Feminism has been around from ever since, even if the society is patriarchal. Like it's because without women forging things forward, I don't even think society would be where we are today. And when we talk about care partnering, like women are at like was it 54% of women who are care 54% of care partners. Sorry, yeah, are women. We us. Right. So I think they go hand in hand, whether we want it to go hand in hand or not. The feminism, the culture, and how we show up and how we shape how we show up, it is intertwined together. So I would say for me, how it shapes culture is first, our commitment to our family, our commitment to, how we do things culturally or ancestrally, like these commitments and convictions really drive how we shape our family and how we expect our family also to like show up for us. It leaves a type of like what's the word I'm looking for? It leaves like a legacy, something that you can like follow. So I know a lot of people are afraid of the word of feminism. It's not a scary word, but when you look into your home, you see it. You see women rising up to the occasion. You see women like having to go to school, having to go to work, having to care partner, having to like pour into little souls, little children for a better tomorrow. So the work is powerful. Being a woman is powerful, and we are constantly shaping society. And I just want to take the time to big up all the women who were
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
who went against the grain in society to really shape the world that you and I now live in, that is in a lot of ways, we're privileged because of the women before us. We stand on their shoulders, right?
A
And so,
hundred
even to have these
percent.
incredible conversations with you, Jaleesa, to be able to be powered by amazing organizations who push women forward just shows how powerful we are when we are placed in the center or in the forefront, when our voices are being lifted up. And we are living proof that when we do that, we shape tomorrow.
Long before we had language for it, our mothers were the medicine. Steady, unshaken, and sure. From their hands came structure, from their spirit, community. Working in healthcare, working with supporting growing seniors and elders in our community, I can understand that the work can get deeply personal and emotional. What feminist entrepreneurial practices would you say help you hold space for emotions and community needs while also running a business?
Oh my goodness. When you're entrepreneur, things can get really personal real fast, especially when you're at the budding stages, when you're at the beginning, when you want to show up, when you want to answer every email, respond to every text, to like say yes to every opportunity. But I've learned really fast, really quickly, because I'm in the healthcare sector now, the importance of self-care and the importance of being real, like real with yourself, and the importance of placing value in what you can do really well and what you're not able to do right now. And I think the practices that I've started that I've decided to redevelop is journaling. Journaling has allowed me to remember my why. Adjust my eyesight so I know, like, okay, this is where I want to be. And it lets me be real with myself. Like, I can actually be like, okay, Colette, since you've written this down, you know that this is way too heavy, right? So either you have to restructure what you're doing, or you're gonna have to let it go, or you gotta put it in a back burner for later on. But you gotta, be real with yourself, because I guess for me, it's important to be genuine and intentional. But if I start stacking everything as an entrepreneur, especially at the beginning stages, I'm losing my authenticity because I'm chasing the bag. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, want money, but I think we should be able to attract it. And I think, instead of running it down type thing. So I guess for me, I would say that's one of my practices is journaling. The other one through journaling is, honestly, I go to sleep early. I try best to go to bed and unplug, and I wake up early before the kids get up so I can have a moment for myself. I think practicing to remember who you are in this entrepreneurial journey is the greatest thing you can give yourself. Like
For
when you're
sure.
going on that board to jump off the board to go into the pool, like think of yourself, think of your morning routine or your night routine as just that, right? But if you don't have that ability to ground yourself and remember who you are, you're not gonna thrive. Personally, for me, you're not gonna do very well in your business, or you're not gonna be very proud of what your business produces because it doesn't have you in it.
And I love those so much because it really speaks to that point of like, if you are not well as a person, your business also is not well. And I love your response around journaling as well as like a feminist business practice. Because, yes, we might all journal, but journaling as a feminist entrepreneurial practice sounds, or I guess feels different to me because, like, as entrepreneurs, a lot of us are doing this alone, like solo. And so it kind of gives you like a new perspective of what's flowing through your mind for as you just said, like to say, is this too much? Am I putting too much on my plate? Do I need to see this from a different perspective? And I love that that's just something that's so natural that we can say is like a really a practice that we can say is our own. I think in like all areas, like having decision makers who are diverse, especially if you're serving diverse folks, like those decision makers, especially who are women, in the space are super important. And I know that sometimes when you start talking about new governance and bringing new decision makers into the space, or just, I guess, understanding what the diverse community really needs, there could be a whole bunch of factors that are related that require funding. So when it comes to funding and support, have you felt like this work is fully understood? What has your been experience been like? And like, what are some of the things that funding in this ecosystem is needed for?
Okay, you're talking about what I'm doing, right? For me.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm gonna be very 100. I feel like the work I'm doing is ne necessary, needed, and underfunded. And most of the time, up until recently, somewhat, I feel like I'm getting a pat on the back. Like a pat on the back. Like, you're doing such a great job. This is fantastic. Oh my God. Right? But it's like, oh my goodness, I'm doing so fantastic. Like, how am I gonna do this without, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's be for real.
Exactly.
And but I do also, although I recognize that specifically in Ontario, we're going through major, 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 major cuts in the health sector and in so many spaces. There isn't enough money to do the funding, but still, it's like it's really dry. And it feels like when you're doing minority work, black work, you keep on getting the pat on the back. Like, this is so fantastic. This is great. And the only time that there is some kind of funding is when it is like a viral sensation, or like, we got to do it or we're going to lose the masses, or it's tied to money. But my work right now, right as we stand, is not tied to any money. The people are still very heavily focused on just dementia, which is good. There's nothing wrong with like focusing on dementia, but the Black community is at a higher rate for Alzheimer's, for Alzheimer's diagnosis. And we are the last to get diagnosed with Alzheimer's because we have friction against, there's friction with healthcare, and there's also not enough education around dementia. So, you know, the need for it is very high. The work I'm doing is very high, but the funding is like not flowing, and it makes it incredibly hard to like do the work, you know. And I had to constantly be telling myself like, this will all pay off in the end, you know. You gotta like. But it feels that way. And even, oh, should be, I'll be mindful how I say this, but like, even partnering with other organizations, sometimes it's like, I know that they don't have the funding, but it's like, everyone that I usually, most of the people that I partner with are Black individuals. And so they're giving time and space to like show up. And really, it's a personal thing because they know me, but it's very unfortunate that, like, because there's much high funding cut, that we're the ones that are feeling it the most, because we will show up for our community, but when it comes to funding, like, we're the first to get cut, and we're exhausted. That
Every
is the
time.
truth. Yeah, you
Every
know.
time. I think a big part of feminist entrepreneurship as well, though, in like in place where funding is not showing up, I guess, would be collaboration. And so I loved that partnership that you did. That was so unique and special. And I would say that that's very feminist way to do business. Can you talk a little bit about that last event partnership that you did with the
The Alzheimer's Society.
yes, as well as like what could partnership for folks look like going forward? Because I know in speaking to you, you're also looking to do some research. So can you talk to both of those pieces?
So the Alzheimer's Society event was really amazing. We did salsa dancing for the Black community, which was fantastic. And of course, it was 100% women. Like, I think, okay, 99. 99 was women that showed up, who wanted support, wanted to learn more, had a lot to say. And it was so great to serve in that way. And it was so great for them to see that there are Black women who are really interested and invested in supporting their voices and their care. So that was really awesome. For the Colette Letha Consulting, the first funding I really am like applying for is for research funding. You know, how can I support what I see, what I hear, right? What can, like, where are the numbers so that I can, so that the funding can really start coming in. So I feel like that would, the research funding would really help solidify the consulting company a lot. And then for the NGO, the funding for structure to really make this a legacy work, to leave it, you know, for my children or whomever else feels convicted to carry on the torch. So having funding to, like, again, structure the NGO, really have people in place, be able to hire staff, be able to hire Black women to carry on, you know, the torch, and really meet also a financial need or gap. So you're not just pulling source out of the community, but you're also pumping source back in. So I believe that funding in those two areas would really help a lot with really getting the work out there, you know. So right now we have a community care, sorry, community hub where we meet once a month. The Black Care Partner Community Circle, we meet once a month, but we can only do that once a month because that's what we're available to do, right? That's all we can actually manage to do. But if there was like funding for it, that would really help, especially if we want to bring guests on to talk about their expertise and really truly support the Black community while navigating dementia.
Awesome. I love that so much. Research is such an important part of the beginnings that I think a lot of people miss, and especially because we're talking healthcare, we're talking a topic that is just so prevalent within the Black community that does not have a lot of research, especially here in Canada. I think that there's a large gap that needs to be filled in regards to collecting that data to ensure that we're serving communities in the best ways. So I love that you're like prioritizing that. Since COVID and the new age of AI, our seniors are continuously feeling left out and unconsidered. In speaking with my grandma a few weeks ago, she brought up a point that I hadn't even thought about. She comes from an age where she could bring her bank book to the machine, push it in, and actually get like her bank statements, believe it or not. Where now she wondered why she couldn't walk into the bank and simply speak to someone. Instead, she was being directed to make a call and to speak to an automated system. Now, it's this and so many more reasons why the work that Colette is doing is very important, because folks with dementia require a much higher level of support. It is essential that our communities and our governments focus in on supporting our growing population. All right, sis. Now, what kind of future are you hoping to create for families and communities through this work?
The future that I'm hoping to create is a future where families feel empowered. I think right now I'm around a lot of families who don't feel empowered. They feel incredibly overwhelmed and they don't know who to talk to. I think creating safe spaces, even if it's a hub where Black families can feel like I know where to go, I belong, someone understands me, no one's offended. Like really, like a real safe place. And also a place where we can collaborate with healthcare practitioners, dietitians, social workers to really create a powerful and a sustainable ecosystem for the Black community. That's my hope. And also like to empower the care partner, you know, what they can do differently to change your lives. Some of us, it is a biological thing where we may get Alzheimer's, dementia. Some of us is a lifestyle. So empowering the Black person, okay, some of us might be on a budget. What can we do with the budget that you have to live a better life, to have a better outcome? You know, the basis, I guess, while journaling for me, I ask myself, Colette, who are you at your core? Who are you at your core? And I told myself, and to myself, I sat with myself, and I'm a life force. I mean, we all are, but I know I'm a life source. I pump life into people. That's how I've always been. And I
I love
feel,
that.
and I thank you. And I feel with the NGO and with the business, it is to pump life. People feel empowered, and they know that when they leave, they're going to be okay. They may not have all the answers, but they're going to be okay. They might get angry. They might have grief. They might do all the things, but they know when they're in this community, they're okay to be that way. You know, I think I had a post the other day with Julissa. I'm sure you saw where I was talking about my mom and why I do what I do. It's just so, it's such a thing that's so close to the heart. People who don't know about dementia don't know what it really feels to kind of like lose somebody slowly and like over time. So you want to create a space where people feel like they can rest, you know, or they can laugh a little. So it's that's what I hope will shape the community. And yeah, that's what I hope.
And as someone from the community, as a part of the community, and I think it's so beautiful because even when I'm thinking that, I'm like, okay, you're part of our community, House of Nine, but I'm also part of your community, Afro Cognitive Health Collective. And I think that exchange is just so beautiful, how we can sit in community and, show up in places where we need and pour in places where we can give, and have that feel so like reciprocal and just like, circular in our community. And I just love that so much. And I really appreciate you for the space that you hold in community for us to talk about this topic that just is just so real, just is such a huge part of our reality that we never talk about. We never have the resources for. And so, folks, everyone out there from the Black community, that is really looking for just answers. You got questions and you're looking for answers. I definitely will encourage you to reach out to Colette at the Afro Cognitive Health Collective. Now, Colette, my last question for
Oh,
you.
I just wanted to add on to what you were saying, because you
Sure,
said something so,
go
so
ahead.
powerful. What you said was like, you're saying like how we just lean into each other's communities. And it just feels like something that we already are very aware of and we do. I know there's a lot of other communities out there, a lot of women communities out there. We talk about feminism. I think because of my own personal experience, I'm going to relate it to like my Black woman experience. And you know, the calabash just feels like I'm taking a sip and then you're going to take a sip. Like it feels like something that we, like I've witnessed it with my mother and her friends and her sisters and community. It just feels like the same thing. It's something that is passed down. I think, again, we think the word feminism is a scary word. It's been marketed that way, but it's not. It's reinforcing our connectedness, like how connected we are and how we show up in such a not just physical way, but like in a very spiritual way, in a way that kind of transcends the physical line, you know, like it's like I come into your spirit, like you think of me for opportunities. And you're like, yeah, she's that girl. She can do it. And I think of you the same way. And I kind of pass on the calabash to say, hey, Jalisa, like I always say, Jalisa the ninja. You don't play with the Jalisa. Like this is who you need to, this is who you need to connect with, right? So I think being a feminist is like really powerful. The only reason why people have an issue with the word, like how they have an issue with Black, is because there was an issue before it.
I'm
Right?
so glad that you brought that up too, because
Yeah.
over the past, let's say, 3 years, I've been a part of this Partnering for Feminist Entrepreneurship project. And from the very beginning, I was like, okay, but what does feminist entrepreneurship mean to me as a Black woman, though? Because I feel like for so many years before, it was like, feminism was for white women. And I think that today, we're just so liberated that we have the ability to make it, to reclaim it. And make sure that, we just continue to exude it, because just like any other, terms that come up in the Western world, it's like these terms are used to exclude us, right? When really they're just the things that are ingrained in us and flowing through our
Always been.
blood. It's just using different terminology. And so I think that that's what my biggest takeaway is from this project and feminist entrepreneurship is, okay, how can I use these new terms and leverage them to speak about the things that me and my grandmothers and great 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 grandmothers have been doing for centuries, to just continue to tell our stories of the impact that we're creating on an individual level that continues to ripple to our communities. Being like, there's just so many words that we can use to describe just the feeling of like that cooperative economics, that matrilineal experience. So this might be a little bit of a challenge, but Colette, I'm gonna ask you too, if you could describe feminist entrepreneurship in one word, what would that word be?
Committed. Yes, I know I talk about entrepreneurship and feminism, but yeah, committed. I could keep going, but
100%.
committed. And I think of like even the other, other sisters around the world from different cultures and backgrounds. You hear their stories of commit, like being so committed to their families, or like growing a business out of like nothing. Yeah, and just despite like so like you could be a woman, that's one thing, but you could be a black woman or you could be an Asian woman, and then you have to put another added layer, and then you could be like the last one, that's an extra layer, and then you could be the darkest one, that's an extra layer, and then your family may be poor, that's another layer, right? But you hear these women emerging past those labels and identities, and sure, because it's commitment.
I love it. Thank you so much, Colette, for sharing with us. Please let us know where we can find you.
All right, well, I'm mostly on Instagram. You can find me at Colette Alethea or at Afro Cognitive Health Collective.
Beautiful. It was so great to spend some time with you. Big thank you again to the Canadian Women's Foundation for the platform, and for our partnership for the Feminist Entrepreneurship Project as we continue to build different. This again is Jaleesa. Until next time, we will see you soon.